CBS News. Arab gunmen are still holding hostages inside Orly Airport in Paris. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A late report on the Paris story from Bill McLaughlin.
The French Ministry of the Interior has announced that the two terrorists at Paris' Orly Airport are now known to be holding six people hostage inside a washroom. The terrorists did not volunteer that information. The French police found out by using a highly sensitive listening device to monitor conversations going on inside the washroom. The next step of the Arab gunmen should be known soon. They told an Arabic interpreter who is working for the police that they would make their demands known in about 1 hour from now. This was the first sign from the gunmen that they might actually be willing to negotiate since they took the hostages over 15 hours ago, after they unsuccessfully attacked an Israeli passenger jet. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News at Orly Airport.
Police in Paris are investigating two attacks. Police in London, rather, investigating two attacks Sunday night on fashionable downtown hotels. Some officials noted that Jewish functions were going on at both hotels and said they suspected Arab extremists. Other detectives said they were trying to determine if the Irish Republican Army might be responsible. Gunmen sped past the Portman Hotel in London in a car and sprayed it with machine gun fire. Five persons were hurt. Later, a car sped past the Carlton Towers Hotel and opened fire with automatic weapons. Two people were hurt there. There was a secret meeting Sunday in Northern Ireland among British officials and representatives of the Irish Republican Army. And in the Irish Republic, the IRA's Army Council had a meeting to consider restoring the ceasefire, which ended Thursday. IRA sources say the prospects of resuming the truce are good. There were large demonstrations by Catholics and Protestants in both Ireland and Northern Ireland Sunday. The people sang hymns and prayed for peace. In Northern Ireland, a child was killed, the first fatality since the IRA truce ended. A 7-year-old boy died when he stepped on a mine planted in a field near the Irish border. More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sign-Off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-Off Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-Off Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-Off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-Off.
Exactly.
Sign-Off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
President Ford's energy tax proposals continue to draw criticism. Senator Lloyd Benson, Democrat of Texas, said Sunday higher taxes on oil would contribute to inflation. Representative Morris Udall, Democrat of Arizona, said the energy tax hike proposal is disastrous and would send shockwaves of inflation throughout the economy. Mayor Thomas Bradley of Los Angeles, a city heavily dependent upon the automobile, says gasoline tax proposals would not prevent rationing.
I think what's going to finally result is that if the president puts this energy surtax into effect, we're going to find ourselves paying anywhere from 7 to 15 cents more per gallon of gasoline. And we'll find that that program is not going to work, and then we'll have to turn to some form of rationing. And I think that it would be better for us to turn now to some kind of regional allocation and really reduce the consumption of gasoline and oil. And perhaps then to avoid the rationing. Otherwise, I see no way out of it.
Newsweek magazine says that a Gallup poll it commissioned showed a majority of Americans favoring gasoline rationing over higher prices. Less than a month ago, the Social Security Advisory Board touched off a storm of controversy by proposing a 70% hike in Social Security taxes for people earning $24,000 a year. The panel said the money would be used to pay for Medicare hospital benefits. Sunday, the panel reversed itself and said instead of using a sharply higher Social Security withholding base for the Medicare fund, the money should come from general tax revenues. Another large bank has succumbed to financial problems. The Security National Bank of Hempstead, New York, has been purchased for $40 million by the Chemical Bank of New York. Chemical said the smaller bank was taken over because federal officials requested immediate action to prevent a probable failure of Security National. Banking sources said Security National suffered losses in loans to builders on Long Island, where the construction industry is depressed. Last year, the Franklin National Bank of New York failed after having heavy losses in foreign transactions. There will be good news this week for some auto workers. 17 plants which have been closed because of slumping car sales will be reopened for production. Ford and Chrysler say they expect better sales figures this week following the implementation of cash rebates for new car buyers. One Detroit Chrysler dealer said the rebate offers are bringing back some of the customers who were chased out when they saw the original prices of the 1975 models. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, mostly cloudy through Tuesday with considerable night and morning fog or low clouds and local drizzle. Chance of showers early tomorrow. The highs about 50 and the lows near 40. In downtown Seattle, currently 49 degrees at 47 at the airport. The barometer holding steady at 30.16. Wind out of the south at 14 miles per hour. Taking a look at sports briefly, in the National Basketball Association, Atlanta beat the Seattle Supersonics 117-109. Milwaukee over Portland 122-108. Detroit down Cleveland 100-98. Phoenix 109, Kansas City 97. Boston beat Philadelphia 102-100. And Buffalo dumped New Orleans 117-112. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I hope you're ready for a journey into the bizarre, into the very, very strange, for that's where we're going. A round-trip journey, of course, but one we promise you won't forget. Sarah and David Hughes have just finished dinner and have taken their coffee out to the patio, where dusk is coming in behind a lovely sunset, and the world seems bathed in serenity. But beware of peaceful places at peaceful times. Things change. Sometimes, suddenly.
David!
You know, I was almost asleep.
David, what is that up there?
What's what? Up where?
Up there, in the sky, those funny lights.
Well, it's a jet, I guess. We'll be hearing it in a few seconds.
A jet making a circle of light? They don't come in from that direction. Well, that's fast either, David. It looks as if it's heading straight forward.
Nonsense. Of course it isn't heading straight forward.
David! They're flying saucer.
Oh, come off it, Sarah.
An unidentified flying object. We actually saw it.
Sarah, it was nothing of the sort. It was simply... Well, it was...
Can you identify...
Well, no, not offhand.
An unidentified flying object. David, we've made a sighting.
Our mystery drama, The Sighting, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Fieldon Farrington and stars Kim Hunter. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine, but Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, Rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or a bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
UFO sightings, although they are remarkable, are not uncommon. There have been, who's to say, thousands of them, maybe tens of thousands, if you include those that have gone unreported. Of course, some people poo-poo them as optical illusions or weather balloons or light reflections on clouds or even just plain imagination. But others, many others, take them quite seriously and would like very much to know what and why and possibly even who they are. Sarah and David have certainly seen something, though they don't agree about what it was.
You know the trouble with you, honey? You let your imagination run away with you. You see a funny light in the sky and wham, it's a flying saucer.
Well, you can't say it wasn't a flying saucer. You don't know what it was any more than I do.
But Sarah, when you can't explain something a little out of the ordinary, you don't pounce on the most unlikely explanation you can find and close your mind to all the others?
Look who's talking about closed minds.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm a little bit conservative. Bankers get that way, I'm told.
And man, are you ever a banker.
Well, don't knock it. It buys a lot of goodies.
No contest. I think I'll go next door and ask Bea and Harry if they saw it. Want to come along?
So what? Oh, yeah, the thing. Sarah, I really wish you wouldn't do that.
Why not, for heaven's sake?
Well, I just assume it didn't get around. I mean, that we saw... Well, the first vice president of a bank doesn't see flying saucers. He just doesn't, Sarah.
Okay. The first vice president didn't see it. He's as blind as a bat.
Yeah.
But his wife saw it.
Sarah.
Look.
I don't want you to talk about it.
How do we know what they are? How do we know what they're doing here? What the purpose is? How can we be sure that they don't mean us some kind of harm, David? I think we ought to report it.
No. You're not to say a word about this to anyone. Look, honey. Old man Ellsworth is talking about retiring again, and this time J.D. thinks he means it. And if he does go, J.D. will almost certainly move up to chairman of the board, and that leaves the presidency open. I'm the first vice president. But can't you see, Sarah?
Look, I think that's wonderful, David. You know I do, but I can't see what it has to do with...
Well, I just told you. I'll have to ask you to take my word for it. I want you to promise not to say a word about this thing we saw, not to anybody.
Anybody home?
Oh, hi, Bea.
You got any shopping to do this morning?
I don't think so, no. How about a cup of coffee?
Okay. They're supposed to have some fresh whiting at Avery's today. Doesn't David have a big thing about whiting?
Yes,
David has a big thing about whiting, but he's more likely to get cold stew and leftover parsnips.
Oh?
Garnished with arsenic.
Bad one, huh?
Honestly, Bea. You ought to thank your lucky stars you're not married to a banker.
Oh, I don't know. You ever try living with a man who was in wholesale pharmaceuticals? Give him whiting. That's my advice. He can't eat and quarrel at the same time. Did you and David see that thing come over last night?
Come over?
Fly over, you know. Looked like a flying saucer to me. But Harry said it was a jet with some fancy new kind of lights or something. I never heard a jet sound like that.
I guess we must have missed it. Why? Doesn't Harry believe in flying saucers?
Wouldn't believe in one if it landed smack on top of him. We still playing bridge tonight?
As far as I know, it's your house. Want me to bring anything?
Money. It's our turn to win. You want me to get some whiting for you if Avers has it?
Oh, would you mind? I'm not much
of a... Sure, I'll bring it over later. I'll tell you one thing. I don't ever want to fly in a jet that sounds the way that thing last night sounded.
Good morning, David.
Oh, morning, J.D.
You busy right now?
Nothing top priority, no.
Well, come on into my office. I've got some news for you.
Sure thing.
You, read this thing this morning?
Hmm? Oh, Times. Mm-hmm. Well, I glanced through it before I left the house.
A couple of people out your way claim they saw a flying saucer.
Oh, I read that, yes. One of the fellows belongs to my club, as a matter of fact. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes next time he goes into that locker room.
You know, I don't understand people. I just can't figure them out. Fella sees something up there he never saw before, and he goes running around like a chicken with its head off, yelling, flying saucer. What does he think he is, some kind of aeronautics expert or something? Sit down, David.
Thanks.
What would you say if I told you old Ellsworth finally made up his mind?
Well, I'd say congratulations, J.D.
He's retiring the end of the year. Made up his mind yesterday afternoon, apparently. Plans to announce it sometime later today.
Congratulations, J.D.
Oh, no. It's premature, my boy, premature. Board has to vote on the new chairman. There's no guarantee they'll pick me. I can be pretty crusty sometimes, you know. Made some enemies.
That's your year's salary.
Oh, yeah. Bankers don't gamble now. Had to vote on the new president, too, of course, but... You've got me in there lobbying for you.
Thanks, J.D.
Oh, nonsense. Best man for the job. Would be anyway if he didn't sit around loafing all day in the boss's office.
Well, I guess I'd better get back to work.
I guess you had. And, David...
Yes, J.D.?
Try not to see any flying saucers. Wouldn't help a bit.
Afraid of. I must speak to you.
How did you do that?
Do what, Sarah?
When you talk, your lips don't move. Or anyway, I couldn't see them move. It sounded as if you were talking through that little black box strapped on your chest.
Yes, you are quite right. You see, we don't have any vocal equipment.
We? Who's we?
We come from a very long way off.
Like Mars?
No, much farther. Another galaxy altogether.
I told David. I told him.
Yes, we sensed that you were sympathetic.
Then what do you use? Mental telepathy?
That's what you would call it, yes.
And the box?
I think into the box, you might say. It comes out English. Other languages, too, of course, depending upon the setting. I'm glad you are not frightened.
If I were, I wouldn't let you know. Look, where you come from, do you just walk into strangers' houses?
I am very sorry, but I had to speak to you. It's really quite urgent.
About what?
We need your help.
To do what? Take over the Earth?
You mustn't say that. You mustn't think it. We're on a friendly mission. My colleagues and I, we're what you might call a scouting party. We must know more about your planet before we can be sure that it is safe to... We want to help you.
Well, we're doing all right.
Are you? Really, Sarah?
What's your name? You keep using mine. Don't you think I should know yours?
I have no... We do not use names in the sense you mean. I have a designation, of course, but there is no way to convey it to you.
That's pretty weird. And how did you find out what my name is?
We were able to pick it up. We get very dim readings from your minds. Actually, yours is the clearest we've been able to pick up so far. We need someone to cooperate with us so that we can learn more.
And that's what you want me to do?
Yes, Sarah, it is.
Well, come back tomorrow.
I don't understand.
I'll have to talk to my husband about
it. That is exactly what you must not do. Do you understand me? You must not consult your husband. You're not to tell him even that you have spoken with me. I want you to understand that very clearly. He is not to know that we have contacted you.
Then you'd better just go back onto your flying saucer and fly away. I'm not sure I want to speak to you again.
You will, though, Sarah. You will.
You don't believe me, do you?
Of course I believe you, honey. Have I ever accused you of lying to me?
All the same, you don't believe me.
What did he look like, this man you saw?
Well, he wasn't green, if that's what you mean. He didn't have tentacles or flippers or any of that. His hair was kind of coppery and funny. More like chicken down than hair. I didn't notice the color of his eyes. His face seemed all right, except that his ears were flat against his head. He was tall and too skinny to look healthy. By our standards, that is.
Mm-hmm. How was he dressed?
Ordinary. Except for a box he had sort of taped onto his chest. Like brown slacks and a kind of yellow shirt open at the throat. But the clothes didn't look right on him. You don't believe one word of this, do you?
Now, Sarah, I haven't said I don't believe you. All I'm saying is that you're tired and overwrought.
And seeing things. Look, I'm not sure I want to play bridge tonight. Sit there all evening being humored. And, well, I'm not at all sure I want to do it.
I'll tell you what. You trot upstairs and take a little rest. Now, wait, then, just let me finish. You are tired. You are overwrought. You don't deny that, do you?
Well...
So why shouldn't you take a little rest? Now, what's wrong with that? And when you get up, if you don't feel like playing bridge, we won't play bridge, okay? Doesn't that sound fair enough?
Well, all right.
Fine. Right now. Close the bedroom door and see if you can't actually get a little sleep. Will you do that for me?
Okay. But if I should go to sleep, don't let me sleep long, will you? And David...
Yes?
I did see that man and talk to him. I really did.
Thing and hallucination? Let's not be too sure it wasn't just because we heard it ourselves. After all, we were primarily interested in what Sarah heard, weren't we? Or thought she heard. Let's not rule out the possibility that we were hallucinating along with her. Perhaps we'll learn the truth about that when I return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend, give your heart to your lover. contest, the sooner the better.
Six or three or one.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms, you'd need six cold tablets, two every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold liquid, one every 4 hours, or just one contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The
six or three or one. Take contact. Only as directed.
The Marine Corps Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. We're looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
David and Sarah have spent the evening playing bridge with Bee and Harry Vincent. But their minds haven't been on the game. Sarah's is more on the events of the day just ending. How often do you speak with a man from outer space? Now the game and the evening have finally come to an end.
David, my friend, we ought to do this more often.
Yeah.
You owe us now. You can check my arithmetic if you want to. You owe us $3.76.
With the cards you two held, how could you lose?
Oh, come on. Don't grouse, David. About 10 more nights like this, and maybe we could get even.
Oh, it was all my fault. I told you I didn't feel like playing bridge tonight, Dave.
Oh, forget it. You were no worse than I was.
Well, after all, it's only a game.
Yeah, said he, tucking away his winnings. I wonder if I drank $3.76 worth of beer.
Well, there's more out in the kitchen. Come on out. Maybe you can break even.
Now, what are those two cooking up?
Oh, I don't know.
Is the fight still going on? With you and David, I mean? Left over from last night.
Mm.
You haven't been acting like yourselves at all tonight. Either of you.
Oh, it's one of those things. I guess it happens to everybody.
Mm.
David, don't you think we ought to go now? You have to work tomorrow.
Okay, honey. He's a good man, you're David. You don't have to worry about that.
David?
Hmm?
What did Harry mean when we were leaving? Who's a good man?
Oh, honey, turn the light off, will you? I'm dead.
It's something to do with me, isn't it?
Okay, you'll have to know anyway. I asked Harry for the name of a good psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist?
Yes, earlier. I called the doctor before we left, too. Told him it was an emergency. I got an appointment for you for tomorrow morning. Well, it is an emergency. You don't realize how... Well, I knew you were going to be angry. Sarah?
I'm not angry. If he's any good, maybe he'll be able to convince you I'm not seeing things.
Sarah, I've got to get to the office on time this morning, today of all days, but I'll meet you at the doctor's office. Now, your appointment is for 11 o'clock. You won't forget it, will you?
Look, you don't have to be there if you have a busy day. I can handle it alone.
No, nothing of the sort. And afterward, I mean, after the session, we'll have some lunch. Someplace fancy, huh? It'll be all right, Sarah. You'll see.
it's you again.
Sarah, I must speak to you.
Do you know that you may very well be nothing but a figment of my imagination?
I think that you are tired. Did you sleep well last night?
What do you think? And wouldn't a figment of my imagination at least move his lips a little when he talks?
I can see that you are very sleepy. Oh, yes, very sleepy.
Well, I didn't ask you in.
You are almost too sleepy to stand, aren't you? Here. Why don't you sit here? You'll be much more comfortable.
Well...
That's better, isn't it? You're able to relax now. Relax and rest. Relax and rest. Float and sleep. You are asleep now, aren't you? Yes. Fast asleep. You will do as I tell you.
Yes, I will do as you tell me.
Good. Pinch your arm, Sarah. With your right hand, pinch your left arm. No, harder than that. You can feel nothing. You feel no pain.
No pain.
Very well. I am going to perform a minor surgical operation now. You will feel no pain, of course. A simple incision at the base of the skull. There will be no bleeding. Now, what I am inserting, Sarah, is a very small device which your body will in no way reject. It is in every way compatible. By means of this device, it is better you know this, Sarah, although you will not be aware of it later. Through this device, we shall be able to read your thoughts and participate in them, guide them. This will be possible at great distances, light years, actually. You are now sutured, what you would call sutured. There is no wound, no scar. You felt no pain, did you, Sarah?
No pain.
And yet your own doctors would find this type of surgery very difficult, if indeed at all possible to perform. Now, do you know what I have just done?
Yes.
Tell me.
You've planted a device at the base of my skull so that you can read my thoughts and guide them.
Yes. You must listen carefully to what I tell you now. Do you understand, Sarah?
I must listen carefully.
You will emerge from your hypnotic state when you hear the sound of my vehicle leaving. Is that clear?
Yes. When I hear your spaceship fly away.
You will not remember having seen me today at all. Please repeat that for me.
I will not remember having seen you at all today.
And all you will remember about my visit yesterday is that you made it up as a joke. It did not really happen.
I didn't see you yesterday. It was a joke I made up.
Very well. When I leave the room, you will fall into a deep sleep. When you hear our vehicle moving away, you will awaken, feeling as though you have a long, healing night's rest. Is all that clear?
It's all clear.
You're busy, Dave?
Harry! No, come on in. Aren't you a little out of your territory?
Yeah, I am. I knocked off and came over here because, B called me a few minutes ago to say she's seen the damn thing, too.
Seen what?
The saucer, the flying saucer.
Oh, B saw it?
Yeah, says she did. Says it was hovering there right over your backyard with a door open, like practically the whole side of a ship, she said. A kind of stairway coming right down onto your lawn.
Oh, come on, not B, too. What are they trying to do to us?
Well, to tell you the truth, Dave, I don't think Bea was putting it on. She can't lie worth a nickel. And she sounded scared, really scared. And, anyway, that's not
oh,
all.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
She'd started out shopping, see, and forgot to take a list with her, so that's why she went back. I mean, that's how she happened to see the thing in the first place.
All right, all right, all right.
So, she went back in the house and was watching through the window, and I swear, Dave, this is what she said. A tall, skinny man came walking out of your back door and went up the stairway and into the saucer. Then it made that crazy whooshing noise like we heard the other night. I did hear that, Dave. I honestly did. And it didn't really sound much like a jet. Well, anyway, it made that noise and took off. Like 1,000 miles a minute, B says.
You think it's true?
Well, unless B's blown her mind, too. She said she wanted to go right over to your place and see if Sarah was all right, but she was afraid to. Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be true, Dave. I think, anyway, we ought to go out there and see. Oh, there's B. She must have been waiting at our front door.
You'd never get here, you
two. Is Sarah all right, Bea?
I haven't seen her. Well, I can't help it. I was scared. You didn't see that awful-looking thing just hanging up there over your backyard or the weirdo that came out of your house. Can we go in now? I don't mind as long as I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I don't suppose one of them's still in there. I mean, since the thing took off, it wouldn't go away and leave one of them behind with it.
I'm still not ready to believe
it. You'd believe it if you'd seen it.
Sarah?
Yes, David? Oh, I thought you were going to meet me at the doctor's office. Well, what's this, a delegation?
Are you all right, Sarah?
Why wouldn't I be all right?
Sarah, did anything happen this morning?
Not a thing. Not unless you count me falling asleep, sitting bolt upright in a straight kitchen chair. I really must have been dead on my feet.
The man from the flying saucer didn't show up?
Oh, come on. Don't you think we've had about enough of that nonsense?
Nonsense?
Sarah, I saw him. I saw him come walking right out your back door, plain as day, and get into his saucer and go. I saw that, Sarah. I really did.
Oh, please. Let's not anymore. So I made up a silly story. Now, I'm sorry I did. I never dreamed you'd all take me so seriously.
Now, wait a minute. There's something wrong here. You were taking it seriously enough last night. Now, don't try to tell me you weren't.
It was just a joke, David.
A joke?
I wish you could all see yourselves. You look as if you'd just come in from a funeral or something.
Sarah, if it was just a joke, why didn't you say so when I told you about the psychiatrist?
Oh, I'm all mixed up. I swear I saw a tall, skinny man with funny hair get into a flying saucer and fly away. If it was just a joke you made up, Sarah, maybe I'm the one who needs a psychiatrist because I saw that. I know I did.
All right. Sarah's going to keep her appointment, aren't you, Sarah?
I don't see any point, David. You'd just be throwing your money away.
Well, still, if I ask you to, you will, won't you?
Well, if you want me to, why not? I can't see what good it's going to do, but I guess it can't do any harm.
No, Sarah.
What?
What? I didn't say anything.
You are not to see the psychiatrist. Is that clear, Sarah? You will not see the psychiatrist.
Who said that?
What? Nobody said anything.
Didn't you hear it? Bea.
I didn't hear anything.
You will do as you are told. You will refuse to see the psychiatrist.
Who are you?
Sarah.
I can cause you pain, Sarah. I can cause you great pain.
David, what is it? Somebody keeps... Don't you hear that voice?
I don't hear anything, Sarah.
I do not want to cause you pain, Sarah, but I will if I must. You are not to see the psychiatrist.
Come on. We better go, honey. The appointment's for 11 o'clock.
All right, I'm coming.
I'm sorry.
David. David! David, make it stop!
Sarah!
Make it stop!
I hope you didn't feel the pain along with Sarah. It would have convinced you, of course, as I'm sure it has convinced the people in our story, that the man from outer space is real and not altogether friendly. If there is any doubt lingering in your mind, however, I believe it will be dispelled when I return shortly with Act Three.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free after all. Living free,
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas. And you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Buick Skyhawk. Dynamite.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
In God we trust. America speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Of the open mind to accept the new and seemingly miraculous, at least as an hypothesis, has always faced opposition from the less flexible mind, which finds the status quo easier to live with. David, however, as well as Bea and Harry, has had a convincing demonstration that the new is only the as yet unknown. Bea and Harry are waiting in Dr. Freuling's reception room. David has taken Sarah into the doctor's office.
Now, just lie down here and rest. And help me with her, will you, Mr.
Yes.
Hughes?
Please, please, make it stop.
Sarah, honey, got to do what the doctor says. Now lie down and try to take it easy. And just do as the doctor says. She seems to be in a great deal of pain, doctor.
Oh, she is in pain. There's no doubt whatever about that. What causes the pain, this is what we must learn first of all.
Well, can't you give her something?
I think best not to do that until I have learned what has happened to her.
Sarah, refuse to speak with this doctor, this psychiatrist. Tell him only what you have been ordered to say. You have seen no man from a flying saucer. It was only a silly joke. Leave his office. Nobody can force you to stay. And go home. Do only this, and there will be no more pain.
You are asleep now, Sarah. You are in a deep, restful sleep. You are resting in a quiet, lovely place where there is no pain. No pain, only rest.
You will not sleep. You are uncomfortable. There's no severe pain now, but you know there will be if you listen to this man.
Now, Sarah, I want you to tell me exactly what happened this morning before David came back from his office.
I can't, Dr. Froehlich.
Uh-huh. Well, it is not yet. We try again.
Froehlich, if it's going to keep on like this, I think we'd better just quit.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
We are on the right track. He was there this morning. She told me that much before he got through to her again. We are going to win, Mr. Hughes.
Well, win or lose, what's going to be left of Sarah?
All of her, Mr. Hughes. More than there is of her now. Sarah, shall we try again?
I can't. Froehlich, you won't let me. You don't know how it hurts.
It's no good, Sarah. You know it is no good.
Now, try to relax and clear your mind of everything but what I say to you.
I'll try.
Sarah, what did the man do when he came to see you this morning?
He said he asked me... Oh, no! He asked me to help him. Stop it! Stop it, please!
Sarah... You are under my control, not his. Pain will never stop until you do as I say. You must do as I tell you.
Bear it, Sarah. You can bear it if you try. Help me, and it will all be finished sooner than you think. How did he want you to help him?
It will be worth. The pain will be worth.
He wanted me to... He wanted me to make it stop.
He wanted you to what?
He beat his contact. He couldn't. Oh, God. He said he couldn't read a thought I was. To...
Oh, no, no. Pain can't kill Sarah. Yeah. What if I decide to kill you?
I don't care. I don't care.
That's enough. Dr. Froehlich, that's enough.
You were to what, Sarah? What did he want you to do?
He put a thing in my head and he knows what I'm thinking. He can... No! He can hurt me with it. Oh,
God! Doctor, is
Wait. Her pulse is strong. That's good, good.
Is she...
She will be all right. He cannot hurt her while she is unconscious. He put a thing into her head. Is that what she said? Is that what you heard her say?
Yes, yes. Isn't there something you can do?
Miss Jameson, I want an ambulance at once. Emergency entrance physician's hospital. Get Dr. Carter for me. Tell him physician's hospital at once. It was good of you to come, Dr. Carter.
Yes, yes. What have we got?
A device has been implanted in a young lady's skull, I believe. I cannot be certain.
Implanted? By whom? How long ago?
Only this morning, as I believe it. By whom? Now, it's a long story, and the patient is in intermittent pain.
All right. We'll have to have x-rays.
I have already made x-rays. They are here.
Right. Have you read them? Have you found anything?
I am a psychiatrist. I think there is something, but I do not wish to prejudice your judgment.
Oh, very well. Well, is everything clear here? It's all right. Nothing here. And not... Wait a minute. That little particle. Is that what you mean?
How does it look to you?
It's like a pinhead. Oh, yes. It's foreign, all right. Must be. But implanted? Very small.
Large enough. I am afraid for my patient's reason... Perhaps her life, I do not know.
have to see her before you operate, Dr. Carter.
Oh, she's already been sedated.
Believe me, Dr. Carter, it's imperative.
Well, if you feel so strongly about it.
Sarah?
Oh, is that you, David?
Yes. Feel better now?
Oh, yes, I feel fine. Just sleepy. He isn't bothering me right now. I mean, there isn't any pain.
Do you think you could contact him, Sarah?
Oh, I expect he's around. Why?
I want to get a message to him.
What message? David, I don't want
no,
you
no,
to...
No, no, no. I just want to talk to him, Sarah. I just want to meet him. Is he listening now?
Oh, I can't tell, but I imagine he is. David, you must...
I just want him to meet me and talk to me. It's as important to him as it is to me. I'll go back to the house. There's nothing I can do here anyway. I'll go back to the house and meet him there. I have something important to tell him. Important to him.
Well, if he's listening, you could just tell him now.
No, not now. I'll meet him at our house as soon as I can get there.
I'm afraid, David. You sound as though...
Just give me a kiss, Sarah. I love you.
I have taken more trouble than you realize, Mr. Hughes, to meet you here. What is it you wish to tell me?
I have a proposition for you.
I am willing to listen for a short time, though. The surgery is about to begin.
You aren't going to interfere, are you?
Your wife is a danger to us. I am sure you can understand that. We're reluctant to take a life, of course, but our mission is of greater importance.
Listen. Now, just listen. Why does it have to be Sarah? What's the matter with me?
What do you mean?
I mean, put your gadget, whatever it is, in me. Why couldn't you do that? I'd cooperate, don't you see? You wouldn't have any of this resistance you get from Sarah.
Why? Why would you turn against your own people to help us? Aliens, as you call us. Why would you be willing to do that?
Willing? I'd be doing it to save Sarah's life. Wouldn't you do as much for your wife?
We do not have wives.
Oh. Well, my wife is very dear to me. There's nothing, I guess, that I wouldn't do for her. So you see...
Be quiet.
What?
Please, do not speak. I am in communication with my colleagues.
Oh. Tell them...
Be quiet.
Oh, God, please.
All right.
You'll do it?
No. We have decided against using you...
Huh?
We have learned a great deal from you. This love is your word. This is an unfamiliar factor. This love must be taken into consideration. We are not sure that anyone so afflicted would be sufficiently stable for our purposes.
And what about Sarah?
It is a risk to release her, of course. For we cannot erase her memory, but we have taken greater risks.
Then you won't interfere with the operation?
Not interfere, no. Not the way you mean. We shall help. Your surgeon will need our help.
Oh, thank God. How is she, Doctor?
Fine. I have never seen anything like it. Would you ask her yourself?
Sarah?
Oh, David, I feel so much better. I feel perfectly well, as if nothing ever happened.
Thank God for that.
I have never seen such surgery. A motion picture at fast speed. His hands moved so quickly, I would never have believed it.
Did you see him? The man from the saucer?
Yes, honey. He's real. You'll be glad to know that.
Oh, I do. Believe me, I know.
Is she really all right, Dr. Frilling?
Quite, yes. She is free now.
Yes, I'm free. But I don't think they've finished. They're too strong. We're too vulnerable. I'm safe, yes, for the time being at least, but I don't know if the world will ever be really safe again.
Maybe it will. They've discovered a new factor. Maybe it's stronger than they are.
Well, how strong is love, the new factor on this old earth of ours? Stronger than hatred? I like to think so. Hatred makes the headlines, I know, but love, in its unassuming way, has been making the world go round for a good many years now. I'll be back shortly.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
David is president of his bank now, and doing a very good job of it, too. He and Sarah are even happier, have an even more secure marriage than before their adventure. The near loss of something dear often underscores the dearness of it. Well, whether you come by UFO or some more conventional method of travel, be here to join us for our next chilling story. Our cast included Kim Hunter, Nat Polan, Ralph Bell, Joe Silver, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You can't get anything past our border guards.
Yes, it was just an idea.
Besides, we have to fly out of here. I'm going to a convention, and you're going on a tour. Now, let me apply some scientific thinking to this. How can I get that platinum out? Oh, no. No, I don't believe it.
You don't believe what?
What just flashed in my brain. It's so simple, so ridiculously easy. And it's absolutely foolproof.
What is?
This plan, this idea.
Tell me.
No, darling. You're too important.
Well, if I'm so important, shouldn't I know?
No. Because if you knew, you might unconsciously give it away. Its success depends on your not knowing until exactly the right moment.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for mostly cloudy skies through Tuesday with considerable light and morning fog and local drizzle. Chance of showers early tomorrow. The highs about 50 and the lows near 40. In downtown Seattle, it's 50 degrees, 47 at the airport. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.18. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Two men are still holding hostages inside a washroom at Orly Airport in Paris in an incident that started more than 16 hours ago. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The incident began when the pair threw hand grenades at an Israeli jumbo jet at Orly. The plane was not hit, but several persons on the ground were wounded. There was an exchange of fire with police. The men, believed to be Arab commandos, then grabbed six hostages and herded them inside a washroom. So far, the two have not made specific demands, but they said they would do so at this hour. At last word, the pair had not communicated their demands to the police outside the washroom. In New York Sunday morning, two shots were fired at the Soviet UN mission. No one was hurt, but the shots shattered windows in the building. Later, police arrested about 50 demonstrators outside the mission, including Rabbi Meir Kahane of the Jewish Defense League. Police in London are trying to find the gunman who raked two fashionable hotels with machine gun fire Sunday night. In the first incident, the men sped past the Portman Hotel firing automatic weapons. Five persons were hurt. A few hours later, a car drove past the Carlton Towers Hotel and sprayed it with machine gun bullets. Two persons were hurt there. An effort is underway to try to restore the ceasefire in Northern Ireland, which lasted 25 days and ran out last Thursday. British leaders met over the weekend with leaders of the militant IRA. Peter Martin reports from Belfast.
British government sources are saying the ball is once again in the provisional IRA court. The sources say the government hopes the provisionals will now reinstate their ceasefire. The British Secretary of State, Merlin Rees, says his men did not negotiate or make deals with Sinn Féin, the political wing of the Irish Republican movement. Rees is trying to ward off criticism from Protestant militants who warned him not to sell out to the IRA. A church leader who was instrumental in getting the ceasefire going in the first place has struck a note of optimism. The Protestant Reverend William Arlo says, so far, so good, and hints of more talks perhaps in the next 24 hours. A leading Catholic politician is optimistic the talks will result in a continuation of the ceasefire. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
Sunday, the first fatality since the ceasefire ran out claimed the life of a 7-year-old boy. The youngster died when he stepped on a mine planted in a field in Northern Ireland near the Irish border. More news in a moment.
Ever been riding along in your car and hear a radio announcement asking you to go to your local hospital to make an emergency blood donation?
For donors with B-negative blood.
Happens every day.
Call that hospital immediately.
How come blood is in such short supply that emergency pleas have to be made? Because not enough people give blood. It's that simple. We know you're busy these days, but think, you're alive and well, too. And you could help others to be that way. Your easy donation of blood to Red Cross or any other volunteer blood bank actually helps a number of people. Because the blood you give is split up into various components, sometimes as many as five. It gives life to a whole lot of people. So don't wait for an emergency announcement before you call your local Red Cross blood bank. If you call now, there doesn't have to be a blood emergency.
Today's weather, sunny and mild, high near 80 degrees.
Several administration officials Sunday made public appearances to voice backing for President Ford's anti-recession program. They defended the controversial proposed taxes on oil. The administration has argued the higher energy prices would be more than absorbed by tax cuts and rebates. Senator Henry Jackson, Democrat of Washington, says the program will cost $25 billion, increase unemployment, and cause bankruptcy. On the ABC program Issues and Answers, Interior Secretary Rogers Morton disputed Jackson's claims.
I think his analysis has been made a little too quickly. I don't think he's really thought it all the way through. I have great respect for Senator Jackson, but I I think he's the work is not complete, and I don't think those are fair criticisms.
Asked about Morton's statements, Jackson said he is sticking by his figures.
I know of no one in the administration that has come forth to refute the charge that I've made and others, and including, may I say, a large number of experts in the investment community, that they are taking away from the purchasing power of the American public more than they are giving.
Senator Henry Jackson of Washington. A newspaper in Kuwait is reporting the government there may soon announce complete nationalization of the nation's oil fields. The government currently owns 60% of the Kuwait Oil Company. Gulf Oil and British Petroleum share ownership in the remaining 40%. In Montgomery, Alabama, Monday, George Wallace takes office for an unprecedented third term as governor of Alabama. Wallace says a physical examination he took last week shows he is healthy enough to be president, and that's exactly what many political observers expect Wallace to try for. Wallace won his third term in last year's election with the support of some black leaders. Wallace will have the state's first black member of a governor's cabinet. 12 years ago, in his first inaugural address in Alabama, Wallace vowed to fight the federal government and defend segregation forever. Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.